Hello, thank you for joining for another episode of Turkey Book Talk with me, William Armstrong. In this podcast, I talk to authors about newly released books on Turkey and its neighbourhood. Subscribe to Turkey Book Talk on iTunes, Podbean or Stitcher, or follow via the Facebook page, or subscribe at my website, armstrongwilliam.wordpress.com. If you're a fan of this podcast and you want to support it and me, you can do so via my Patreon account, making a small or large monetary donation on a per episode basis. You can find details of how to do all that through all the Turkey Book Talk pages. But now, on with the show. And in this episode, I speak to Özge Samancı, the author of a wonderful, charming graphic memoir called Dare to Disappoint, Growing Up in Turkey. The book narrates Özge's trials and tribulations growing up in a lower middle class family in İzmir, her life at boarding school, and her later troubles studying mathematics at Istanbul's prestigious Bosphorus University. It's a modest premise, and the book is light-hearted in tone, but the deceptively simple drawings actually summarise a fair bit about Turkey's modern history through the prism of Özge's childhood. It's a very lovely book that everyone should read, and I've actually yet to meet anyone who's read it and not enjoyed it. It became a bestseller in Turkey after being published last year, despite being written in English, and a Turkish language version is due to be published soon. So I started by asking Özge Samancı if she had always intended to publish the book that way around.
I didn't have a very clear plan. Honestly, things develop a bit organically, like one thing followed another. I used to draw for the humor magazine Le Monde in Turkey many, many years ago. That was like almost 14, 17 years ago. And then when I moved to the United States, I lost my connection with the humor magazine. And then I started making a webcomic called Ordinary Things. And there I started doing that to entertain my friends in Turkey. But I decided to do it in English because it was going to be on the web and I wanted to be available to my American friends, my friends in the US too. But then it went beyond entertaining my friends and gained a larger audience from all over the world. And then, so I kept doing that and I was preparing myself for this graphic novel idea that I was carrying in my mind. And then like I kind of like people I know were speaking Turkish and English, so it seemed kind of, I even didn't decide it. It just happened. The book emerged in English.
And it sold really well. I think it was a bestseller in Turkey. And
English version, but yeah. Let's see how the Turkish version though.
And that Turkish version is being published soon?
Yes, it's going to come out in this month, like in October or November from İletişim Yayınları, İletişim Publishing House.
Yep. Great, so we got the timing perfect for this interview.
Yes, and the Turkish title is Bırak Üzülsünler.
Let them be sad.
Yes, let them be sad, yeah. Because we cannot directly translate Dare to Disappoint to Turkish. So yeah, that's the best we could find.
I'm really interested in the writing and the drawing process, because you've mentioned that it took many years and you were collecting material, and the book's kind of full of details, like little fragments that from when you're growing up, you remember these kind of small details that you kind of add to each picture, and it's really charming in that way. And even somebody who doesn't get like all the cultural references kind of recognizes what you're doing. I mean, I'm really what was this drawing and writing process like? How did you collect the material?
It's just a mind state that I have. I love anecdotes, so I just talk about the past a lot, and I love when people tell me their lived stories. So it's just all over my life. Like, people who hang out with me, they start remembering their childhood because I talk so much about it, I ask questions. So that it's not like, again, something that I did consciously or particularly. It's how I think and how I live the life. But what I do consciously is I have a document, and as I remember an anecdote, I write those anecdotes very shortly to remind myself. So I have a like written repertoire of collection of these anecdotes. The other thing is I select anecdotes by telling them to people. So since I talk about it a lot, when it receives a reaction from other people, I kind of know it's a valuable anecdote in terms of storytelling. And then there are anecdotes that couldn't make it to the book that doesn't like culturally translate, or it didn't fit into the flow of the story, even though it's a really fun one. So that the writing happened that way. Writing was actually the longer process. Making of the images, that took almost 2 years, but writing took more time.
And what you kind of describe growing up until the age of, I think, 23, and obviously the big part of the book is about going to school. You could say it's the centre of the book, you know, how you describe the kind of national culture through schooling and how, you know, children are socialised. Also, that was the kind of area where you went to boarding school in Izmir. In the book, you describe it as the place where you came face to face with this kind of classic social divide between conservative religious students and more secular minded people. It's a kind of classic divide, but the book avoids cliches when addressing it. I mean, it's obviously a sensitive question, but how did you want to approach this kind of sensitive issue in the book?
Yeah, the school was in Istanbul, the science high school, and like there is no way of telling the story without touching that issue, because it was all over us. The Gülen Foundation was very powerful in that school, as I narrate in the book too, that they would take the students who are coming from more conservative background or more poverty to lighthouses. So there was a big brainwashing going on in the school, and there was a big polarization. So the school was a little model of the, like, condensed model of the Turkey, so that, like, there was no way for me to tell that story without including the clash between more like conservative religious side and the seculars.
And the other good thing is everybody will recognize it. Every Turkish reader will recognize it, is the way that you describe this kind of exam cramming that goes on, Turkish students constantly cramming for these multiple choice exams where they're just kind of ticking boxes.
Exactly. Like those that coming from that background is just so shaped my personality that sometimes I still feel like I have an assignment and I didn't do it. Like that feeling of I'm not prepared enough, it doesn't go away. And I'm sure many people from my generation feels same kind of wounds in their spirit.
And one of the things that the book does, it's quite short, but it kind of fits a lot in. It's like a kind of microcosm of Turkish history, really. And it summarizes that in a kind of light-hearted way. But there's a contrast between this kind of light, almost naive visual style and quite heavy material. Was that like a conscious decision that you made when you were creating the book?
I think, I don't know. I think I wanted to make it approachable. Like, I don't like pretentious work. I want people to easily relate it. There is that intention in me in any kind of work I do. So possibly that's shaping the art style of the book. Maybe not that conscious. Again, like, it's all something that I do extensively all over my work. There is one thing that when I was writing the book for an American publisher, that the main audience at the very first place were the people who didn't live in Turkey, like mainly foreign audience. So that there should be a way of making a story relevant to that audience. So I think it would be little flat if I would only tell the story, this happened to me, that happened to me. But if you place this like little world, if you connect this little world with the political environment and the historical environment, then it's becoming a larger context, and that's becoming a global interest. I think that was the main motivation. And once you start talking about politics and history, of course the narration is getting deeper and harder, and you're touching upon more difficult subjects.
And you left Turkey, I think, 20 years ago, around 20 years
ago? About 14, I think.
Okay. So you left Turkey 14 years ago. And as we were saying before, it seems like a lot of people you speak to these days in Turkey talk about wanting to leave. And there's a bit of a danger of a brain drain. But I suppose people like you, having left before, are evidence that that danger has always been the case, really. Yeah. And the current situation might just be a kind of spike. You obviously come back to Istanbul occasionally. Do you think that there's been a shift in the atmosphere?
I don't know if there is an increase, decrease, or if it's same, but that brain drain thing is there since my childhood. I used to hear that it would more happen with people who scored really well in that nationwide university entry examinations. If they are really in the top three, they would get a scholarship from US, and then people would talk about the brain drain. But I think currently it's happening maybe more, but maybe it's not because of what's happening in Turkey, but because of the internet is there and people can communicate with each other easily. There are other factors into it.
And what about you? I mean, what's next for you? Have you got any other projects or books lined up? Obviously, the Turkish version of this book's being published this month. But what else have you got lined up?
I'm working on a new book, and the title is Not Here, But Everywhere. I wrote the draft of the book, very rough draft of it. I don't know how many years it's going to take. This Dare to Disappoint took 5 years to make. I hope to make this in a shorter time. Maybe hopefully in 2-3 years, I may be able to get it out there. This new one is a fiction book because I wanted to explore the flexibility in writing a fictional story. When you write an autobiographical story, that you have to be honest, and you can't bend the story, even though a fictional one would make a better dramatic arc, for example. So I want to explore the freedom that fiction gives.
And do you want to share what the book's about?
The book is about, there are two main characters, and I'm going to tell their stories in parallel to each other. So on the even pages of the book, like one side of the book, there is an American character coming to Istanbul, and on the odd pages of the book, there's a Turkish male graduate student coming to Athens, Ohio, and so they are going through similar kind of processes in life. They are grieving, and they are dealing with the sense of grief in a new culture, so that we're going to read their stories in parallel. In every page turn, their stories progress in parallel. So it's going to be a little formalistic experimentation, and of course it's going to include my observations of both cultures. Yeah.
Great. Is that a graphic novel?
Yes. It's graphic novel. That's my home medium. That's the most natural medium to me. So I can't imagine doing something else.
That was Özge Samanca, my Hürriyet Daily News review of Dare to Disappoint, Growing Up in Turkey, was published a few months ago. I'll post a link to it over at my website, armstrongwilliam.wordpress.com. Remember, subscribe to Turkey Book Talk if you haven't already via iTunes, Podbean or Stitcher. Also, please do rate the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, or like the Facebook page, which helps other people find the show. And if you want to email me with any recommendations or abuse, you can do that too. My email address is williamjohnarmstrong@gmail.com. That's John with a H. Also, don't forget you can support the podcast via my Patreon account, donating on a per episode basis. Many thanks to current supporters Andrew Cruikshank, Özlem Beyarslan, Steve Bryant and Aaron Ataman. But until the next episode, fare thee well and thank you very much for listening.